Good morning. My name is Ashley, and I am one of the site leaders at Grace Church at our Chichester site. It's great that you're here with us this morning, and whether you've been coming to Grace Church for years or have just joined us while we've been online, you are so welcome to be with us. I've been a member of Grace Church for about 10 years, and I love this church. I can't wait until we can all be back together, worshipping side by side. We have two small children, and so online church in our house isn't the most spiritual of experiences. So I'm really looking forward to the day when we can be back together. I can send them off to their brilliant kids groups and then sneak back into the preach via the refreshment table for a good respectable biscuit stash, obviously, and then listen to the preach in peace. Oh, it will be bliss. I can't wait. Well, wherever you are right now and whoever you're watching this with, you are really welcome. And it's a pleasure to be with you this morning. Now, have you ever wished that you could be in two places at the same time? A few years ago, one of my best friends announced her engagement, and it was really exciting. But my friends don't like to rush things particularly, and so the date was booked a full 2 years in advance. The venue was booked, and we'd all got our dresses ready. The big day was looming, and then one of my friends from church announced her engagement. And we were really excited, but very quickly, I became absolutely gutted when I realised it was going to be on the same day in different parts of the country. We would have to choose which one we went to. Well, I'd already long since RSVP'd to my first friend, and I wasn't going to let her down. But I was so excited about my other friend, and I was really sad to miss it. And as the big day came, there was, all of church felt like it was excited about it. I wished I could be in two places at once. Have you ever felt like that? Well, God hasn't. God is omnipresent, which means he is fully present everywhere. This week, we're going to be exploring God's omnipresence as we carry on with our series called None Like Him, which is based on the brilliant book by Jen Wilkins. God is incomprehensible. Now, that doesn't mean that we can't know him, but it does mean that we can never fully understand him. Because although he is incomprehensible, he gives us sufficient knowledge of himself that allows us to discover him more and more throughout our lives. So this morning, we're going to be looking at what God's omnipresence means and how we are not like him in this way at all. And then we're going to spend some time exploring how this knowledge can transform the way that we live our lives. And we'll see how we can respond to that, both for our own good and also for God's glory. So what is omnipresence? Well, basically, this is just a fancy way of saying that someone can be absolutely everywhere at the same time. Now, the fact that we live inside our bodies means that we can't be in more than one place at one time. We can move from one place to another, in fact, more so than ever before in the history of mankind. If we have the resources to do it, we can wake up in West Sussex and by dinner time be eating in Kampala. But we can't be in both places at the same time. We cannot occupy two places simultaneously. You see, our body has limits. We don't have wings, do we? So we can't fly. And we age and our bodies deteriorate. In fact, my mother-in-law often says that she's surprised when she looks in the mirror and she sees her reflection staring back at her because she doesn't feel the age that she looks. She doesn't feel the age that she is. But actually, our spirits, no matter how young or free they may feel, they are tethered to our bodies. Now, God created us. He made us to be this way. And by binding our spirits to our bodies, he has decided that we will be present where we are present and nowhere else. But God is not tethered to a human body. He is unbound. He isn't limited to one place. He's uncontainable. He is fully present everywhere. which also means that God can be worshipped anywhere. And praise God for that. King Solomon, who spent his entire life building a temple for God, he recognized that although this was for the glory of the King of Heavens, a mere building could never contain him. In 1 Kings chapter 8, Solomon declared, "Behold, heaven and the highest heaven cannot contain you, much the less this house that I have built." We don't have to go to a church building to meet with God. And it actually feels to me, I don't know about you, but like this has never almost been more important when churches across the globe have been closed. Praise God that our ability to meet with him does not depend on that. Because actually, millions of Christians across the globe and throughout the centuries since Christ ascended haven't been able to meet together in churches because of persecution. But yet God still meets with each and every one of them and us because he is fully present everywhere. And as well as being omnipresent, God is also something called immanent. Now, that means that all of God is fully present in all places, past, present, and future. Now, that just blows my mind, because not only can we not be in our own house and our mate's house having dinner at the same time, but we certainly can't also be in our great-great-great-grandfather's house having dinner with them at the same time too. We can't be there at the same time. But God is. There is simply no place, no time where God is not. Now, the internet and this constant stream of global news that we have can really fuel our illusion of being limitless. We can live stream protests in Chicago and feel like we're there. And over lockdown, places like zoos have held live feeding sessions, and some of the best museums in the world have had virtual tours. You can look and you can ask questions and you can feel like you're there. Not quite though, right? Because we're not there. Children have been accessing virtual classrooms while the school doors have been closed. But it is not the same as being in school by any means. But all of these things, they feed our illusion of being able to be in more than one place at one time. Now, my husband Dave and I, we have the immense privilege of hosting a life group in our home, and we love it. If you don't know what a life group is, you're not familiar with them, these are groups of people that are open to everybody that meet within the church. We meet together every couple of weeks. We share a meal, we hang out, we have fun, we laugh together a lot. Sometimes we cry together and we pray together earnestly for and with one another. And our life group, like many across the church and across the country, have been meeting regularly online since March. And you know, I'm really grateful for it because it's kept us connected and I love this group of people dearly. But it is not the same as meeting together in person. We can't share our heart's desires and go deep. We can't sharpen each other in the same way. We are not omnipresent. We cannot be everywhere. And when we are together in our homes, but also on our screens, it is not the same. Now, I'm going to tell you something that I think you probably already know. I am not even slightly omnipresent. And I have struggled with this for years. I work in the international charity sector, and my favourite part of my job is travelling to places that otherwise I would never otherwise go. And a couple of years ago, I landed a job in a place that I have always wanted to work. I was so excited about it. And in my first week of being there, a colleague poked his head around the door and asked if I would come to Ethiopia with him that weekend to run some workshops. Oh, I wanted to go. It would have been amazing for my career, but I had an infant son at home and he needed me and I needed to be close to him too. There was just no way that I could go. So I I sulked for about a week, maybe a bit more. And I went home and, you know, I harboured a little bit of resentment towards my baby for needing me so completely. Was it his fault? No, of course not. It was my sin. It was my desire to be omnipresent. I'm sure many of us can relate to this feeling of being torn between two things that matter to you. And I remember very clearly the chaos that resided within me as I struggled between these pulls in my life, between wanting to be at the big job and also being content to be where God had placed me at this time, near my children. And when I tried to be in both places fully, then both areas suffered because I'm not omnipresent. And because God is so gracious and amazing, after I made my peace with him about this, he actually blessed my work in a way that I could never have imagined. And now I have a role where these things balance. He is a good, good God that we have. Now, in the book of Acts, Paul is addressing a crowd in Athens. And he says to them, "From one man, God made all the nations that they should inhabit the earth. And he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their land." You see, humans, unlike God, are bound to one place at one time. Only God is omnipresent. And yet, instead of reflecting God's glory, often we try to usurp it for ourselves. And understanding that difference is really important, I think, because we are not God, obviously, but when we try to attain this for ourselves, we not only fall short of that, but we actually can damage both ourselves and the people that we love around us. These attributes, my mum is American, and so sometimes I struggle with basic English. I'm not sure, these these attributes that we have been looking at over the summer, they belong only to God. He is omnipresent. But when we try to do that for ourselves, it all goes wrong. And when we try to do this, we aren't fully present in either scenario. Now, this here is my phone. You probably have one yourselves. It's brilliant, right? You can do all kinds of stuff. You might be on yours now while you're watching the preach. Scrolling through Facebook, see what people you haven't spoken to in 10 years are doing with their Sunday morning. Oh, Jane's breakfast looks nice. I mean, you might call this multitasking, right? But actually, when we do this, we're not giving either one of these things our full attention, are we? Now, when you're doing things like this, are there people with you in the room, like real people who actually need you? Do your actions regularly say that you're more interested in your online friends than you are with those that you're actually sitting with? Are you being fully present, or are you trying to be omnipresent? And so we need to ask ourselves the question, is it wrong to want to overcome our limits? Is it idolatrous, even placing ourselves as God, believing that we're limitless? Well, this depends on our motives. I mean, there are times when our desire to be in two places at once come from a place of love and affection and wanting to express that to others. And in fact, we could argue that it's part of our very nature to be in two places at once. And even Paul recognizes this in 2 John. In 2 John chapter 12, he wrote, "Though I have much to write to you, I would rather not use paper and ink. Instead, I hope to come to you and talk face to face so that our joy may be complete." You see, Paul wanted to be with the people that he loved, and that is a good and a godly sentiment. There's nothing wrong with that. In this age of technology, we are surrounded, aren't we, with newfound ways of mimicking this feeling. But these aren't the same as being in person. And, you know, like Paul I think we know it. Have you ever come off of a Zoom or a Skype with family or friends and felt just like a little bit hollow or empty inside? That's because we know that it isn't meeting our God-given desire to be with people. We feel it in our bones, and wishing that it was the same isn't idolatrous in itself. I want to be with you this morning in person. I want our church to meet together, and I long with every fibre of my being to worship side by side with you, pray with my brothers and sisters in Christ together. I can't wait for that day to come. We have an incredible team here at Grace Church who are working so hard to ensure that we can meet together in these virtual spaces at this time. You know, we can still connect and we can learn together and we can kind of worship together. These are good gifts and we are really grateful for them. But, you know, they cease being good gifts when we start believing that these newfound ways we have of doing church are the equivalent of actually being there. There are times when that desire to be in two places at once is okay. We want to be with a family member who's sick but lives on the other side of the country. We want to be at both of our friends' weddings who are getting married on the same day. Longing to be free from our God-given limits can be God-honouring when it is framed in love and held in perspective. But there are times when it's not. Do you sometimes allow your workplace to invade your home spaces unchecked? Are you regularly checking your work emails while maybe you're bathing your children? And I think anyone who does this regularly will know that actually work issues aren't being dealt with as effectively. Balls get dropped, don't they, between like late night emails and early morning efficiency. And you miss the opportunity to spend time and have fun and build a relationship with your children while you're having their bath or whatever it is that you're doing. No one really wins in those situations. Now, I just want to pause for a minute and be very clear and say that there's no guilt here. You know, sometimes we do have to multitask. Sometimes we just have to zone out for a few minutes, and that is okay. We all need downtime. It's about being conscious of how often we're doing it and when. I adore my children. They are funny and they are good company and they are relentless. And there are times when I will escape to the bathroom, I will shut my door, and I will just like look at new shoes for 5 minutes and pretend I am busy. And do you know what? That's okay. Sometimes we do have to answer urgent work emails while we're bathing the kids. That's okay. But actually, has this become a regular thing? You know your heart. Ask God to shine a light on places in your life where you might be doing this. If you're a Lord of the Rings or a Tolkien fan, then you will know that the great Bilbo Baggins once said, "I feel thin, sort of stretched, like butter scraped over too much bread." And yet, this is how we can feel when we're trying to be omnipresent. We're half here and we're half there. We're never fully anywhere. And we're doing a poor job of it. And you know, it's exhausting. And it's exhausting because it's not who we were created to be. We have created this tower of self-idolatry, believing that we are like God, that we can be anywhere and everywhere at the same time, but we can't. Ask God to highlight any areas of your life where you are trying to reach for omnipresence yourself. Being fully present nowhere, spread thin like Bilbo Baggins. And then rather than being frustrated by your God-given limits, like I used to feel at my old work sometimes, choose instead to marvel that wherever God has placed us, it has been ordained by him. God has put you here, now, in this place, surrounded by the people that he has placed around you. He's done it for a purpose. Don't try to be omnipresent. Be fully present. Yeah. Now, let me ask you a question. If you could see, right, that God was right next to you right now, what would your reaction be? Maybe you would just fall prostrate in awe and wonder. Maybe you jump straight into his heavenly arms, or perhaps you just kind of keel over and faint. I mean, obviously on a day-to-day basis, we have to go to work and eat and go to the toilet and all the minutiae of life. We can't live our whole lives prostrate in wonder. It's just not practical, is it? But if you knew, really knew, that God was with you everywhere, every day, every place, would this change how you live your life? As Christians, we are new creations in Christ, so we know that because Jesus died on the cross for our sins, that we are fully forgiven. The Holy Spirit can transform the way that we think and act, and yet sometimes we still act in ways that we know that we shouldn't. But do you know, knowing that God is omnipresent should invoke within us like a deep sense of vigilance against sin. Would you still do what you were going to do if you knew that God was right there with you? Perhaps a better way to ask this question of ourselves is, am I consistently the same in public as I am behind closed doors? Do I speak kindly to my husband or wife when we're with our friends, but turn to harsh words to them as soon as we get into the car? Do I boast to my friends about all the great work that my church is doing, but never actually give a portion of my income to help make that happen? Or maybe I get cross about my mate's bike being stolen and then don't declare all of my income on my tax returns. Because you see, God being omnipresent means that he sees you in your sin. You are essentially always in public to God, even when you close the door. How does that make you feel? Does it make you feel uncomfortable? Well, if it does, maybe you need to stop and confess to the Holy One. I mean, he knows it anyway. Jesus died on the cross so that we could be forgiven. And when we confess the ways that we have hurt God and fallen short of his best for us, and declare that we want him to be Lord of our lives, not us, then there is forgiveness. There is no longer any guilt. There is just grace. My son, his name is Theo, he is now 2 years old, and he has not yet learned how to lie properly. Just a couple of weeks ago, he stood in front of me, took some chocolate from the side that I had just told him he could not have, and he started to eat it, like literally right in front of me. And then while he was stood there, still chewing, he said, "Theo, no eat chocolate." Bit of chocolate dribbling down his face. I mean, it's a good thing he is cute, right? Because he is not terribly smart. But do you know what? Neither are we. Right, because every time we sin, we do so in exactly the same way as my reprobate son did, in the full sight of our Heavenly Father. There is nothing that you can do, nowhere that you can go, that he does not know about. All of our flaws exposed, every sin apparent, and yet he still loves us. He still longs for us to come to him and to know him and to have relationship with him. Because here is the beautiful truth. God loves you. He knows you. He knows everything that you do, and yet he still loves you. His grace is so abundant that even though we are doing evil in his sight, he chooses to forgive it all. God sent his only son into the world, Jesus, and he died on the cross so that we could have relationship with him. so that even in the worst sin you can possibly imagine, if you choose to put your faith in Christ, you are forgiven. It's a beautiful thing. Now, the other side of his omnipresence is this amazing assurance that we are never alone. God sees all, which also means that he sees your sorrow. He is with you in your darkest times. Don't ever allow the lie of where is God, where has he gone, to permeate your thinking. He won't leave you. By his very nature, he is incapable of it. In Deuteronomy 31, Moses tells his protege Joshua, "The Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you." And because we are children of God, the same is true for us. In Psalm 139, it says, "If I ascend to heaven, you are there. And if I make my bed in Sheol, you are there." Even if you feel like you are going through the pit of hell, God is there. But we have to acknowledge, I think, that though God is fully present everywhere, we don't always feel that way, do we? Sometimes he makes his presence known to us really clearly, and sometimes he doesn't. And you know, whether we sense his presence or not, in Acts 17, verse 27, it says, "He is not far from any one of us." Which is why we need to immerse ourselves in scripture, right? We stand upon it as our foundation. We read the word of God. We soak it in so that when we feel to kind of, sorry, when we fail to feel him, we still know this truth and we can stand on it. Just because you can't see him doesn't make him any less fully present in your life today. Now, in his letter to the Romans, Paul writes, "Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity, or are persecuted, or hungry, or destitute, or in danger, or threatened with death?" And then it goes on, "No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us." He loves us. He will not forsake us. And his presence in our lives doesn't just manifest when we're in trouble or need him. No, he's with us in our joys and our just mundane as well. God doesn't need you to tell him about your day. He doesn't need to ask. He already knows. My daughter, Eva, is 5 years old. And something very odd happens at the school gate at 3 o'clock. She walks through it and her memory is magically erased. "What did you do today, darling?"
"Don't know."
"Who did you play with, sweetheart?"
"Can't remember."
I mean, so she's five, right? So I assume she's mainly spent her day, I don't know, playing imaginary unicorns and singing the alphabet song or something like that. I mean, I have a vague idea what she's done. But the truth is, I don't actually care what phonics she's learned. What I want to know is, was she nourished? Did she have any challenges? See, I want her to be able to talk to me about them and share them with me because I want to have that relationship with her. Not because I'm nosy and I want to control her, but actually because when she opens her life to me and tells me about these things, she creates intimacy with me. Sharing these things builds a form of trust and relationship between us. It builds on those. And we're closer because we've shared a moment of vulnerability with each other. And this is God's heart for us. He doesn't need to ask how your day was. He knows every single thing that happened. But he still wants you to talk to him. Tell him about your life, not because he needs a running account, but because he loves you and he wants to share your joys and your sorrows. He wants to share your achievements and your failures too. He wants to build intimacy with you. He is our Heavenly Father. And here is the most beautiful part. As we do this and we share ourselves with him, he opens up more of himself for us to understand. This series is looking at the absolute magnitude and awe and wonder and splendor of the God of the universe. It's huge stuff, and we cannot be like him. But yet, in his infinite grace and mercy, he has shared some of himself with us. We have his word. We have the Bible. We can know who he is. And as we talk with him and seek him in scripture and in prayer, he will reveal more of himself to you. That's his heart. God is omnipresent. He knows our every sin, but because he loves us, he is eager to forgive us and draw us into a life of freedom with him. See, when Jesus died on that cross for our sins, not his, ours, he paid the price for us. He's already done it. It's finished. It is done. In Christ, there is a life of grace and forgiveness. What a God we love and serve. I'm going to end by praying into this. And if you feel that you need to come before God and confess something in your life, then you might want to pray along with me. Father God, we thank you that you sent your Son to die in our place so that we can freely come to you. Thank you that even though you see all, you stand ready and eager to forgive us. God, we know that you see every corner of our heart. Would you show us where we have fallen short of your best, and would you forgive us for it? Would you awaken the deepest of gratitude in our souls, Lord, that we would be transformed to think and act as people who fear and love you. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can always depend on you to be there. We thank you for this truth. Would you impress it firmly upon our hearts, that we can stand firmly and know, my God will never leave me nor forsake me. Lord, we love you and adore you. Amen.